Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. By 2030, it's estimated that there will be a huge increase in the number of individuals over the age of 60 who are going to be requiring other individuals to be caring for them. This is an astounding 70% increase over what we're seeing today. The projections further demonstrate that the likelihood of an increasing number of remaining population that will be in a situation of caring for a loved one will also put additional pressure on them and change their lives phenomenally. Our show today starts a conversation about what that reality means for people and how now and in the future, the kinds of resources that exist or need to be developed in communities like ours to care for our aging population and those who are caring for them. My guests today are here from Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, or CAPSLO, and the Day Center. First, Marie Witten, who's the Adult Day Services Manager. Liz Helgerson with the Program Advisory Council. And Lauren Leidinger, yes, the Outreach and Development Coordinator. Today's show is live, and I invite you to be a part of our discussion with your comments and questions. To bring your voice to our discussion today, please call us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875, and welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So there's an kind of, you have had it described as a silver tsunami and keep hearing that word coming up through media and through discussions. But we're really talking about the baby boomers now that I think it's something like 10,000 a day are reaching the age of 60. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to be continuing now until 2030. So that we're going to have more people over the age of 85 than we've ever seen before in this country. What kind of changes is that going to bring about?
That is a good question. The changes are, there'll be a great need for adult daycare for the elderly, as and support for those caregivers, especially for the caregivers that are working and taking care of other family members, children, trying to maintain a career, trying to find support in their home to help their elderly parents, so that they can manage day to day. I think that that's a huge part of it.
And with this coming up now, I mean, are you already seeing that this is a challenge that people are facing now?
Yes. Well, we know that 1 out of 10 people over the age of 65 have dementia, and 1 in 3 over the age of 85 have dementia. And so a lot of those folks are living with their grown children or with a spouse, and their family members are trying to care for them. And they are doing it, a lot of them are doing it alone. And unfortunately, we are the only adult daycare center in the county, so there is a great need for more support.
Talk a little bit about when people are doing it alone, and they're trying to do it in their own homes. They're trying to provide care in their own homes. What are some of the reasons for that?
Well, I think that when someone is a caregiver, they want to protect their loved one's dignity, and worried about telling someone that they have Alzheimer's or have dementia, that there's a problem. I see that a lot with the spouse. Mm-hmm. Often they try to cover that up. And with family members that are someone with dementia that's living with their children, that they are often, that the person that their child is trying, the grown children are trying to maintain jobs and maintain a household and a career. And the person with dementia needs 24-hour supervision. And so trying to do it all can be overwhelming and stressful. And we find a lot of our caregivers that they become ill and sick while trying to care for their loved ones.
Is there support right now within the system and through insurances to pay for resources that offer care for Alzheimer's?
Unfortunately, there isn't a lot of support. Medicare does not pay for Alzheimer's care. Medi-Cal does pay for a social model of care, adult daycare centers. Some long-term care insurance will cover the cost of a social model of adult daycare centers. The VA will provide extended daycare services, which is something that can be used to pay for our program. But other than that, there is no in-home care for the person with Alzheimer's. The VA has aid in attendance that some families can receive. But other than that, there isn't a lot of support. It really just is the family member or the spouse that has to pay for that.
I'll jump in here to say I think most people don't have the financial resources to pay for help, and therefore their loved one stays home with them because there just isn't any other option.
Yeah, when we're talking about hiring someone to come in to stay with an adult, it's expensive. Did you look into that?
Yes, actually, before we found the Adult Day Center, we were spending, I can't put a total number on it, but we were paying $23 an hour.
Yeah, that's about right. It goes between 23 and 27 an hour.
And there's a minimum, usually, of 4 hours.
Of 4 hours, right.
Right. So there were very few things that we could do. Fortunately for me, I wasn't alone. My husband and I were both retired when my mother came to live with us. So one or the other of us could get away at times. Mm-hmm. But if we wanted to do something together, we had to pay for care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the opposite end of the spectrum of having children and having to pay a babysitter, but much more expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't just bring in a kid. Right, in the neighborhood, who seems responsible. Mm-hmm. It's much more than that, much more important around safety and understanding behaviors and adult behaviors, and it's dealing with an adult.
Right.
Yeah. I'm curious, this county has statistically demonstrated that it has skewed higher for residents who are older. Mm-hmm. And yet you had mentioned when you started talking about it that there were three Alzheimer's facilities, outpatient programs, and that was reduced to one.
Correct.
Why was that?
From what I understand is they went bankrupt. There isn't a lot of funding for adult day care, and the cost to maintain a facility, to sustain a facility is expensive, and so they were unable to make it. And so luckily CAPSLO was able to take over in 2004, the last one that was open in Templeton, and we've been able to sustain that over the years.
How many individuals do you provide services to in the day? And you've moved now from Templeton
Correct.
To Paso Robles.
Correct. Okay. Right. We were in on Peterson Ranch Road in Templeton in a little house and moved to Paso Robles, which I think has been a good experience for us because it made us more visible in the community. We are licensed by the Department of Social Services through the Community Care Licensing, and we're licensed for up to 25 people. We have a small little house. I just love our little home. It actually used to be the home of hospice at one point.
Yeah.
And it's an older home that was built in the 1930s. And so I feel a lot of our clients feel like they're visiting a friend mm-hmm. when they come to the center. So we tend to have between 15 to 18 people per day that attend. And it changes every day, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
We're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, hoping to help those that are working full time so that they have the care and for their loved ones during that time.
And it serves the whole county?
Correct. So we have people coming from all over the county, from San Luis Obispo, from Morro Bay, Los Osos. I have a new gentleman starting that's coming from San Miguel. And they travel usually with the runabout, which is through RTA. It's a supervised transportation. So it's a wonderful service for our clients, and it's supervised.
So there's some, by supervised, you mean there's somebody who's a professional who's on the bus when they pick people up who can manage the people.
Right,
so they're not getting on the bus and off the bus unattended.
Correct. The bus driver is trained to watch out for the client. Okay. And when they bring them to our center, they walk them into the house and make sure that the staff sees the person before leaving them so they're not just dropped off. And usually they're able to pick up a client at their home as long as they're within 3/4 of a mile of a bus stop. If they're not, then the family would meet them at a local, at one of the main roads.
And the adult day center, is it specifically for individuals who have dementia?
No. So when I first started the program, it was for people 60 and older with dementia and Alzheimer's. But I see a lot of people now in their 50s that have had a stroke. Mm-hmm. We also see people with mild cognitive impairment. I have some clients that have been isolated at home because they no longer drove and they were living by themselves. So they are now coming to the program so that they can spend the day. So it's really a mixed population, but they all seem to get along really great. They become friends and socialize together, and we become family.
Liz, how did you get involved with the daycare center?
Well, we were really fortunate. It was senior helpers in Atascadero whom we had turned to for hourly support from time to time. And they told me about the Adult Day Center. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known. Mm-hmm. The owners there put us onto it. And it took us a long time, really, to get to the point where we felt emotionally that it was the right thing to do, to think about taking my mother someplace else and to believe that somebody else would do as good a job as we were trying to do in taking care of her. But we decided we'd give it a try, and it was just almost immediately obvious that this was so good for her. She just loved to go to the center. We called it her social club. And, she just perked up, and it helped all day, not just when she was there. When she came home, we could tell she was happier. And when she got up in the morning, she was happy because she was going to see her friends. So.
Your mom had Alzheimer's or dementia?
It was never called Alzheimer's.
Okay. Yeah. But she had some cognitive impairment.
Very definite cognitive impairment.
Okay.
That went on for a long time.
A long time. Yeah. And so when you brought her to the daycare center, there wasn't a transition period necessarily where she hated it or something.
No, not at all. And mm-hmm. I know for some people there is. There are people who are afraid to be put in that social mm-hmm. situation. Probably mm-hmm. men more than women. Is that true, Mara?
Well, we find that those with dementia and Alzheimer's have a primary caregiver that they're very attached to. So separating them from their rock or that primary caregiver can be a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's really based on fear. They're just very fearful of their environment, and they're relying on that one person to tell them it's okay. And so when we do have a new client come to our program, we really encourage families to ease into the program and to have them come with their loved one to the center the first day, stay with them for a couple hours, leave, then come back again, stay for about 30 minutes, then leave, just until that person feels more comfortable, especially those that have difficulty with short-term memory. So maybe they don't remember being at the program. So they just will eventually have this feeling that it's a safe place. They may not remember our name or what the place is called, but they'll have this sense that they've been there before.
Yeah, yeah. Great. You're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your public radio station from Salinas to Ventura, and streaming all around the world on the web at kcbx.org. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Alzheimer's disease is now the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S., and after age 60, more women are at risk for developing Alzheimer's disease than breast cancer. Both these findings have already had a huge impact on families in all communities. My guests are here today from the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, or CAPSLO, and the Day Center. They're here to talk more about managing daycare for loved ones who have cognitive impairment or individuals over 60 who have special needs that require some assistance with living and caregiver support. Mara Witten, Adult Day Services Manager, Liz Helgerson with the Program Advisory Council, and Lauren Leidinger, the Outreach and Development Director, are here with me today. The show is live, and we invite you to actively join our discussion with your comments and your questions. You can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. And I'm going to bring Jordan in here to see what Jordan has to say. Hi, Jordan. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Thank you for holding. Hey. Thank you for holding.
Absolutely. Hello, Mara.
Hi, Jordan.
Jordan, you are a person who's been receiving caregiver support through the program.
And her mother attended the center.
And your mom attended the center. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I'd love to. Happy to support this fantastic offering that the county has. And I just happened to move with my mom here. I'm her only child, and she's long divorced. So me and my partner were her social circle, and she moved here. And then after about 9 months, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, was living on her own. And about 6 months after that, we found her from a massive UTI on the floor with a pressure wound, and she went to rehab for 30 days from that. And it was distinctly clear that she could no longer live on her own, and I was so fortunate to take Savvy Caregivers class from the Alzheimer's Association. And that's where I learned about the Day Center, and the Day Center is really what made it possible for me to bring her home to live with us. I had researched boarding care. I know there's a more technical name for that, but boarding care facilities in the county. And at that time, my mom was more high functioning, and I just thought there was a more enriching quality of life that could be provided for her. And once I visited the Day Center, it was immediately clear that this staff of people knew this population, had a wonderful program because they have a different program every hour that is touching on a cognitive area, maybe music, maybe dance, maybe physical movement, memory. And my mom was very introverted, and so she had the most social life ever for the 2 years that she attended at the Day Center, which is, Mara, I think you told me once that one of the geriatric doctors you worked with said that social life was the best medicine of anything.
Right. It's better than a pill.
Yeah.
Better than a pill. Better than a pill. So she attended there for 2 years, and she started, now my mom has a story of not particularly liking it at the beginning, because she would say, I'd say, oh, how did it go? And she said, well, it's just a bunch of old people. After a few times of saying that, I said, Mom, do you consider yourself an old person? And she laughed at me. She thought that was, you know, very funny that I would even suggest that she was an old person. But after 3 to 4 weeks, she was looking forward to the drive. She was taken by Runabout RTA, and she would look forward to that. She loved being in the car. Driving is one of her favorite things. And she would say, oh, yes, I'm going to go see the ladies. And it was, so she made that transition. But it was worrisome in the beginning, because I saw that as a necessity to have some help because we worked out of the home. I couldn't imagine being responsible for my mom 24/7.
Could you, even though you worked at home and you could have kept her at home with you, could you have continued to work and paid attention to her or had some kind of quality there?
Don't even want to imagine that. I mean, I did kind of experience that at the end when her behaviors, she's still living, but now she's in assisted living, her behavior of wandering and exit seeking.
Right.
Got so worked up that she was at home. And when that happened, which is a different phase than the prior 2 years, when that was untenable. So I did place her. But I imagine it would have been distracting, not ideal, less than ideal.
Yeah.
Completely less than ideal. And it really allowed, while there was a fee, it allowed me to preserve her finances and her money, which is limited and not, lavish by any means. And now the clock is ticking on those funds in assisted living, but I am so glad for those 2 years.
Yes.
Because that is certainly an aspect of it. And the fact that she was enriched in such a supportive and loving and organized and safe environment with a wonderful staff and with social interaction, that was key. The freedom from having to supervise her constantly was key, and then being able to preserve the finances whatever time it was very helpful.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Jordan, for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jordan.
Absolutely. Have a great show.
You too.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Okay.
No, Jordan made an important point, too, I think, in saying that there's this period of time in the progression of the disease that it makes the adult day center the right solution.
Right.
You have to catch it at the right moment when your loved one is willing to try spending the day with a bunch of old people, right?
Right.
But not already so agitated that, or have so many other physical needs that the center can't take care of them.
When one of the things that both Liz and Jordan talked about is the financial stuff, and we've mentioned that. What is the cost for the program for individuals to go in, and how do they finance that?
Right. So we have a subsidized program so that we can accommodate anyone of any income. It's based on a sliding scale, and it's a donation that we ask for, but nobody's turned away. So we work to make it affordable for each family.
Whose income is factored into that? Is it the family's income or the individual?
So it's the household income.
Household income. Okay. Correct. And do any insurances cover this, or do you take any insurances?
So some long-term care insurances will cover the center, usually after a 90-day period, but I think that each insurance company is a little different. And I mentioned earlier, the VA will cover the whole cost for a family, a veteran to come to the program, including their transportation. And many of them have no fee to pay. Some would be responsible for a $15 copay, like going to the doctor. But for most of our veterans, they're not paying.
Is the transportation to the program part of the inclusive cost, or is that in addition?
So that is separate. We, for the veterans, we do purchase the bus pass for the veteran, since that is part of their the service. But for everybody else, the family member would purchase a bus pass, and it's very affordable. It's funded through the Older Americans Act, and so for someone coming from San Luis to Paso Robles, it's $6.50 each way. So it varies from town to town, but it's very affordable.
Okay.
And it's an activity as well. We do. Like Jordan mentioned, her mom really enjoyed going for a ride. So it's another activity, another way to stimulate a person with dementia.
I think one of the things that Jordan was bringing out and Liz was also mentioning is the trajectory of dementia-related diseases, mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, whether it's diagnosed or not,
right.
It's not a short duration of an illness for families. Mm-hmm. So, and there are different, as I understand it, there are different phases or different stages mm-hmm. that people are in. So one of the things that you've been talking about is not having missed that window. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. That was 2 years or however many years your mom went.
Yeah, my mm-hmm. mom was there, I think, for about a year and
about
a half.
About a year and a half. Mm-hmm. But that's mm-hmm. a year and a half of time when you could do some other things that gave you a little bit of breathing room, right?
Oh, for sure. At the same time that we were able to really participate in her care mm-hmm. and feel good about ourselves and what we were providing for mm-hmm. her.
Did you ever find yourself as a caregiver, Liz, not really attending to your own health and your own needs because you were taking care of mom?
Yeah, not my own health so much, but I felt trapped with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were activities that I gave up because it was just too hard. Like I was trying to quilt at that point. I discovered I'm not the world's best quilter. But I didn't feel I could go off into my own quilt in my sewing room and leave her alone. And so I just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it sometimes feel like you're disappearing into the other person's life? There's none of your own? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a real trapped feeling. Let's take a call here from Sonia. Hi, Sonia.
Hi.
Did you have a question or comment?
No, I was just going to make a comment about the Adult Day Center. My husband and I are pretty young. We're in our late 40s. But we took on taking care of my husband's mom for last September. We moved her into our house because she kept on calling the fire department because she kept on falling in her home.
Aww.
So they contacted the elder care, and so immediately we had to move her in because she could no longer live on her own. She ended up having sepsis when the nurse came and evaluated her at her house, and so she was at Mission View for 80 days. To recover, and then they also trained her to transfer herself because she's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't even able to transfer herself when she moved in. She wasn't able to get on the toilet when she moved in, so it was very stressful. And then I heard about the Adult Day Center when she moved back in, and she was, at that point, she was super depressed, you know, because all these changes happened really, really fast. I mean, we had to sell her house, her boyfriend had to get moved into a different place, and we had moved her into our home. She couldn't drive anymore. Everything stopped at once.
My goodness.
Super, super depressed. She was watching the news all day. We had the in-home caretaker come to the house 6 to 7 hours a day, and it cost a lot to mm-hmm. do that. And then when I found out about the Adult Day Center in Paso Robles, I was I was like, what is this? How can I learn about more? And how can I get my mother-in-law in here? And so I learned out more, and she was able to get in. And within the first week alone, she was already talking about all the things that they're doing there. Like, instead of talking about the news and her parents and her childhood, she's actually talking about current things and her life that's happening that day. And I was so, so happy. And there was a big, huge change with her personality, with her attitude, her depression. She's, like, getting over it more and more each day just by going to the adult day center. It was just, it's an amazing transformation that I've seen with her. I'm so thankful for it. And she goes there 4 times a week now, and next week we're going to start 5 times a week, and she loves it. She looks forward to going. She takes care of her hygiene more because she needs to get prepared to go and get ready to go and be presentable, you know, in front of other peers. Instead of just staying home and just being in sweats and a sweatshirt, you know, she's actually picking out clothes and matching things and matching it with her shoes and picking out her jewelry. And I'm like, oh, this is a totally different person from a year ago. So
yeah, that's great. And good for you too.
The
how did you
center was like it was just a lifesaver because we both work full time and we also have an 8-year-old daughter that has a learning disability, so we have a lot on our plate. And then now her, and so we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that there's a place like this.
How did you find out about it?
I actually work at Capslow, and I was going up to Pastor Robles to help Mara with her client track database that we use to, you know, track our clients and the services we provide and stuff like that. I'm a data analyst at Capslow. I was only going up there to help her with the computer and the software. That's it.
And you thought, wait a minute.
And then I saw these senior citizens playing, you know, doing arm movements with music, and they were all happy and engaged and smiling and laughing and talking to each other. And I'm like, what is this? And, you know, how can I learn more?
Well, congratulations on finding a good landing spot for your mom.
Yeah,
or your mother-in-law.
Amazing. Yeah, well, she loves it, and to this day, every we sit down for dinner, she talks about all the things they provide. Bands that come in, they play different mandolins and stuff like that, violins. They come in to the center, and she talks about that with us. And she brings home the flyers of the band members and points them out and talks about what they do. And I was like, wow.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for calling, Sonia.
Yeah, no problem. You guys have
Thanks,
fun.
Sonia.
Thank you.
Bye. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, HD1, San Luis Obispo, KNBX, HD1, San Ardo, and KSBX, Santa Barbara. Between 1970 and 2016, the number of older adults in the state grew from 2.5 million to 7.8 million, an increase of 212%. As one of the most populous states in the U.S. and with an increasing life expectancy, it stands to reason that California's elderly population has increased so significantly. But how prepared are we for this shift, and what resources are available? One resource that we're talking about today is with Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, or CAPSLO, and the Day Center. Here to talk more about this is Mara Witten, Adult Day Services Manager, Liz Helgerson, Program Advisory Council, and Lauren Leidinger, Outreach and Development Coordinator. Today's show is live, and I invite you to be part of our discussion with your comments or questions about my guests. To bring your voice into the conversation, you can call us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. So talk a little bit about what kinds of projects or what kinds of activities, how do you structure a day?
Well, we open at 8 o'clock, and so our clients arrive and we have coffee, tea, we socialize. Most of our clients are there between 10 and 4. We have a handful of clients that are there full-time from 8 to 5, that usually their loved ones are working. about 11 o'clock or 10:30, we come together and we do what's called the Daily Chronicle and talk about history, reminisce about the past, talk about birthdays of famous people. And then about 11 o'clock, we do exercise. As you know, exercise is so important to help reduce depression and keep people active. And then at 12 o'clock, we have lunch, and our lunches are provided by Ada's Lodge, which is a residential care facility up in Paso Robles. So it's a nice, hot, fresh meal, fresh vegetables, fresh fruit. We do have some clients that live alone, so having that meal once a day is really important to them. After lunch, we try to go outside if the weather's not too hot. As you know, we're in Paso Robles. But we try to go outside, go for walks. We do a lot of trivia, a lot of cognitive games to help with word find, memory games. We're really fortunate that Cuesta College Emeritus Program is teaching classes at our center for free to our clients. We currently have two instructors that come, and they are doing what's called the reminiscing class, which includes trivia, history, a lot of music. As you know, music is so important with people with dementia and with Alzheimer's. We have some folks that maybe are not able to communicate, but they can sing a song. They might tap their feet and really enjoy the music that brings them out of their shell. And also our emeritus instructors do arts and crafts as well. Next semester, we're looking forward to an instructor that will be doing art therapy, doing drawing, which we're really looking forward to as well. And then we do a lot of games like bingo that are games that are familiar to our clients that they enjoy. And all of the games and activities are all modified to meet the needs of those with dementia, with short-term memory loss. So they all feel successful at the games. They feel like they can accomplish the tasks. And we have a high ratio of staff of 1 to 5 clients so that the staff can help each client participate in all the games. Some of our clients that are more advanced in Alzheimer's may be more passive. They may be just watching, observing, but again, they're participating with the music. They might be tapping their feet or patting the table. We have one lady who likes to play the drums on the table. So we try to provide something for everybody. And so the day really just feels like you're coming to a friend's house, you're participating in activities, you're having that stimulation, that social interaction. And for most of our clients, that social grace is still embedded. When they see their friends, they're happy to see them, they're smiling, they're on their best behavior. like Sonia mentioned, her mother-in-law, I noticed she's been wearing lipstick and she's been dressing, you know, wearing her nice clothes to come to the program. A lot of our clients nickname the program the club. We like to call it the club, so we don't call it a daycare. Right. So they feel more like it's a social club, and it's just really a fun day. I have a great time. It's a lot of fun. It's a positive experience, I think, for everyone. And I just think that it really improves the self-esteem of those that have dementia or have Alzheimer's disease. They feel better about themselves. They feel like they've accomplished something.
Is there some criteria for people to be there? Are there some people that would not qualify for the program because of physical circumstances or behavioral circumstances?
Right. So I think there is, like you heard before, that window of time that the Adult Day Center would be appropriate. It's really for someone that doesn't need full medical care. They don't need nursing care. They're able to transfer themselves from a seated position to an upright position. Our staff are able to assist, but we don't have any medical staff. Also, someone who maybe is not easily redirected if they're trying to wander, we're not able to lock our doors because of the licensing regulations. So a lot of times we do see in Alzheimer's people that are wanting to leave to go home, and that happens quite often, but we can easily redirect them, usually invite them to come to an activity or ask them to help with a chore around the house, or maybe offer something to eat. Usually a cookie will do it, you know, let's go have a cookie. And so they're easily redirected. Also, if someone is combative, and we don't see that often, but sometimes, as you know, further in the disease of Alzheimer's, a person becomes very confused and fearful,
right.
And they might become physically combative, or they might become verbally combative. Mm-hmm. I had a teacher once tell me, just imagine you're walking through the mall, and all of a sudden someone comes up to you and tries to take your clothes off and tells you, sit here and eat this, and you don't know who that person is. Your first reaction is to fight, mm-hmm. or to flight, right? You're going to run. So that's the feeling that our clients feel when they're wanting to wander, wanting to get away. So we just need to get into their reality, what's going on in there, what they believe, and just to comfort them and just reassure them that they're in a safe place.
What's your average length of stay for people who come to the program?
So that's a really good question. It's really hard to know. I have several clients that have been with us 6-8 years. For quite
that
a while.
Long, yeah.
It's usually that stepping stone, though, for a lot of families, mm-hmm. when it's becoming too difficult at home, they will move their loved one from home into a residential care facility. So it really varies. And as you can imagine, someone maybe with vascular dementia who continues to have little strokes,
right.
It's unpredictable. So it just depends from person to person.
And do you still have capacity?
Yes, we do. It's constantly changing, but we usually do have openings.
So there's not a long waiting list?
Not currently.
Okay. So if people wanted to come and check it out, can people come and
absolutely
visit?
Absolutely. I encourage people to first call, maybe have a conversation with me or with the site supervisor about our program and what we provide, and to make sure it's a good fit for their loved one. And then I would encourage a family member to come and visit the center. They could either do that themselves or bring their loved one, whichever they feel most comfortable. But I think it's really important for the family member to first visit the center, make sure that it is a good fit for their loved one. Our center is wheelchair accessible, so if someone has a walker, uses a wheelchair, we can accommodate that. But just to get kind of a feel for
sure.
what the activities are and what the environment is like.
Okay, great. Lauren, you've got a lot of programs through CAPSLO that really are geared for both caregivers and seniors. Can you talk a little bit about what those are? Because it seems like with statistics that we've
yes.
been talking about, there's going to be an even greater need coming up.
Definitely. And through MERA's program, the Adult Day Center, we do have a caregivers support group that mm-hmm. I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. And there's also one through the Alzheimer's Association. At CAPSLO, we do a lot of work with seniors through our energy services program. So if you are a senior, 60 or older, there's no income requirements. You can call us up and we'll help with minor home repairs. And these often can help people stay in their homes longer. So if you need grab rails in the bathroom or a wheelchair ramp to your home, doing minor repairs that might be expensive or you might not be able to do anymore, those are services that we can provide as well. Also, through our energy services program, if you happen to be a low-income senior, which many are because they're on Social Security,
mm-hmm.
you can get utility assistance through our programs, and also through our partnerships and funding through the utility companies, we can come and do weatherization, so making sure that your home is energy efficient. So those are some great programs. The other way that we are seeing more and more interaction with our program with seniors is, unfortunately, at our 40 Prado Homeless Services Center. Since opening the service center, which is open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, last October, we've seen a 77% increase in the number of seniors that are homeless and that are using our services there.
Can you talk a little bit about, have you been able to really kind of narrow down what the cause of that is?
What we're seeing is that it's really, I know it's something we talk about a lot in this county, but the cost of housing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting a Social Security check for $1,300 or $1,400 a month, that doesn't really go very far. And if you lose your spouse and, you know, have these life changes or illnesses, it gets hard to manage. So we have seniors who some, you know, are still able to live on their own, but will come for lunch because we do provide, you know, three free meals a day and a hot lunch through People's Kitchen. And then also just seeing the health illnesses and confusion and dementia, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of different factors that are bringing people to the homeless center.
One of the things that I've been reading more about in the senior population is that with medical events, with major medical illnesses, even if they do have Medicare or some kind of insurance, people are losing their homes, if you mm-hmm. will, to paying off medical bills.
Yes.
You know, and as a result of losing homes in this area, not being able to find rents that are affordable, mm-hmm. That they can live in.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And where do you go?
Yep. Well, we're here at 40 Prado if you need us.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's astounding. There also is a high percentage of seniors in this county mm-hmm. that are really living on the fringes in terms of poverty, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is one of the nice things about the 40 Prado Center is that there are resources available. We have case managers. We have, you know, Wi-Fi and internet, and we have a garden that people can work in and ways activities. We have volunteers that come in and teach yoga and different activities so that people have a place to go if they need a friend or need resources. And we also have CHC, California Health Center, has a clinic at the center. So if you're a low-income senior, you don't have to be homeless even. You can come and see a doctor there or a nurse practitioner.
So the Prado Day Center is available for individuals who aren't homeless?
Correct. Yes. Especially the healthcare aspect.
The healthcare is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Chris Kington and Barker, and I'm with you on Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. If you just joined us and you want to hear earlier portions of this show, Central Coast Voices is recorded and our shows are archived on the KCBX website at kcbx.org. And you can have them on demand. Also, a reminder about how easy it is to listen to this show or any show on KCBX with your smart speaker. You can do that by just saying play KCBX. My guests today are here from CAPSLO, Day Center, and CAPSLO. Mara Witten, Adult Day Services Manager, Liz Helgerson with the Program Advisory Council, and Lauren Leidinger, the Outreach and Development Coordinator. Our show is live, and we have time for about one or two more calls today. You could still participate in today's discussion by calling us at 781-805-781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. And yeah, did you want to say something?
I did. I wanted to add, you know, as we've been talking about the silver tsunami
yeah.
and, you know, how to prepare for our loved ones and possible onset of dementia and other needs. One of the things that Mara and I have spoken about recently is with the holidays coming is as families get together, mm-hmm. this is an opportunity to look at how mom and dad are living. Are they keeping up with the housekeeping? And is there food that's spoiling in the refrigerator that they think is still good? There are kind of these signs and symptoms that we can be looking for and addressing before it's too late, before that person is calling 911 because they're falling or they're confused. So, and at that point, being able to have a conversation with our loved one and say, what do you want? You know, how do you want to be cared for, you know, as this may progress, you know? So, you know, having those conversations, they're hard conversations to have, but to have the family there, to have your brothers and sisters and, you know, nephews or whoever, mm-hmm. But to have those conversations now before it's a lot harder.
Well, I had CAL FIRE and SLO PD on last week, and one of the things that was a statistic that I just recently read about their responses was that 70% of the responses that they have are for medical aid. Mm-hmm. They're not for fires. Mm-hmm. And so I had asked that question, is that a real statistic? And in fact, it was a little bit higher than that. And that those are things like people calling because they've fallen down, or because, you know, that someone in the household has fallen down and the other person cannot assist them in getting up. So very frequently that is something indeed. You mentioned about people to be alert to family members, especially during holiday times, which may be the only time they get back together. There's a distinct difference, I think, and Liz, you could probably speak to this too, that people with dementia can cover pretty well for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so if you're only talking to them on the phone, they're pretty good at telling the story the way they want you to hear it, right?
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. They develop kind of a shtick of, here's what I can talk about that's safe, mm-hmm. and you know, and some good dodges for mm-hmm. not being able to answer concrete questions.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about, Mara, about distraction, mm-hmm. using distraction as a way of getting people away from doors and trying to escape. Mm-hmm. I think people with dementia, when we're having conversation, or people with memory loss, cognitive right. impairment, have a great distraction ability when they're talking with their families on the phone right. about how to keep them from learning about right. their cognitive impairment.
Right. So they're so fearful that they will be forced to leave their home or leave their spouse or loved one that they will try to cover it up so that their family doesn't know.
Well, and talk a little bit about when individuals who do have cognitive impairment do have to leave their home. How unsettling is that for them?
Well, it's a very difficult decision to make, but I think that when someone is no longer safe in the home, that the family just has to make that decision for that person's safety and to point that out. And so if they have that conversation early, maybe that person could be a part of what was the next step. Where would they want to live? Mm-hmm. How do they want to live out the rest of their lives?
To make those choices.
Mm-hmm. Because I think it is difficult as a child, an adult child, to make that decision for your parent. You want to do what's best, but to know ahead of time what their wishes were, to carry those wishes out.
And those are hard conversations.
But do you really need to have those conversations mm-hmm. before it's real apparent
right.
that the cognitive impairment has arrived? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you have to. And as an aging person myself, I feel like it's my responsibility to let my children know mm-hmm. how I feel about what should happen.
Right.
As I get less competent.
Yeah. And some of the tips that you talked about being able to see, if you had somebody that notoriously was able to keep a very tidy and a very, you know, very organized house, and now the bills are stacked up high and a lot of the envelopes have not opened, bills haven't been paid maybe, or there's no sorting between junk mail and regular mail. I know my mother she got into a routine of saying that she had her correspondence she needed to deal with. And I thought, correspondence, what the heck is that? And her correspondence was, she was no longer capable of sorting through those things. And it was an all-day process for her to figure out what was the sweepstakes and what was the power bill.
Right.
And it was hard, really hard. Mm-hmm. So those things pile up. Food, mm-hmm. you know, having rather than doing anything with the food, it's forgetting you've got the food and buying more of the food.
Mm-hmm. The other thing too is their health. Are they taking care of themselves? Are they going to the doctor? Maybe they're not taking their medications or forgetting that. And so then their dementia is worse by that. So those are the other things we want to look
for. Yes. I had a mother-in-law that she had those gripper things. Mm. She would forget she had them, and they ended up in every space and, you know, just mm-hmm. everywhere mm-hmm. because she knew they were helpful but would forget that she already had a lot of helpful tools. Mm-hmm. So if people are going home, to be aware of those kinds of things and to have kind conversations, what kind of resources are available outside of CAPSLO? You had mentioned that there are some other, if people are looking at, who else can they call?
Well, if they do have dementia and Alzheimer's, I would highly recommend the Alzheimer's Association because they do offer the Savvy Caregiver class and educational material. They have a 24-hour hotline. If a caregiver needs help in the middle of the night, they can call. They also have respite grants as well that could pay for either in-home care or maybe come to the center. The other one is the Coast Caregivers Resource Center through Cottage Hospital, and they do counseling, and that's for any adult 18 and older that has some memory impairment, and they also offer respite grants as well. The other one is the Area Agency on Aging. They have resources throughout the California as well in other states, and they have what's called Senior Connections, which you can call in and get referrals as well.
Okay, and if someone wanted to talk to you about your program, where should they call?
They can call me at the center at 805-239-5679.
Okay, and that is CAPSLO's Daycare Center up in Paso Robles.
Correct.
And I want to thank my guests today, Mara Witten, Adult Day Services Manager for the CAPSLO Day Center, Liz Helkerson, Program Advisory Council, and Lauren Leidinger, the Outreach and Development Coordinator. Next week, you can join Fred Monroe and his guests on Central Coast Voices. We've been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for listening to Central Coast Voices.